I think it's fair to say that there will certainly be demand for tourism on the part of Americans to Cuba. There were two periods where the U.S. relaxed restrictions in 1999 and again in 2008. And subsequent to that, there was an immediate increase in U.S. travel to Cuba.
Even with the sort of more or less complicated procedure.
Very complicated. And there was, like, people had to meet certain criteria, but there was a very sharp increase. For instance, since 2009, you know, it grew by 225% approximately. And then even this year, with more positive expectations, in the first 6 months of 2015, the data released from Cuba shows across the board increase in tourist arrivals to Cuba. And they don't publish for the U.S., but they have an other category, which is probably mostly U.S., and it has increased by about 18% in the first 6 months of the year.
It's fairly significant, but can they actually accommodate these people?
Well, Cuba is one of the biggest markets in the Caribbean. It already receives, you know, millions of tourist visitors a year.
Some see that the existing travel restriction that has been in place for so long as being like a protectionist policy that works in the favor of other tourist destinations in the Caribbean. How would removing it affect those other tourist hotspots?
Well, the key empirical work that is sort of the starting point for this question of how will the opening of trade and tourists between the U.S. and Cuba affect the Caribbean region was undertaken by Mr. Rafael Romeu. And his approach, which I think is generally accepted, is that the costs in the past for Americans associated with getting to Cuba are significant. And you either, you know, had to travel to a third country like Mexico or Canada, which is a significant extra cost, or if you met the criteria under the U.S. law, you had to go through the process of approval and et cetera. So those are significant costs. And you can look at those like as a tariff on the consumption of the Cuba tourist product. So that's considered as a trade protection in favor of all the other markets, particularly the U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico that have, you know, what we could call full market integration because there's no border issues and the same currency, et cetera. Now, removing those, that's the sort of big question. There's a lot of interest in the region and certainly unclear. But Romeu's research, sort of two big takeaways. One was he found with the sort of model he used that there would be an increase in overall arrivals. So in other words, the pie would grow. But of course, in the short term, as we noted, there would be probably some capacity constraints in Cuba. And that ultimately would then lead to some redistribution. Actually, he found that countries that were culturally different from the U.S. would do better. So in other words, Guadeloupe, Barbados, etc. Whereas countries that were closer to the U.S. culture or had the same language, like the U.S. Virgin Islands, where their large share of tourists are already coming from the U.S., that those could lose proportionally. So there would possibly in the short term be winners and losers. But it depends, I think, how much the pie grows and also, you know, how many American tourists come to Cuba.
Do you think that lifting this travel restriction, the changes that or the impact it will have on the industry in the region will be a lasting effect? Or do you think that this might just be, you know, a novelty that wears off in time, that fades away, that Americans may not in the long term want to travel or vacation in Cuba?
I think it would have a lasting impact, definitely, particularly if it does lead to a sustained period of growth in tourist arrivals in the sense that there is enough interest and the capacity grows. There's a large supply of, you know, potential American tourists who would want to go to Cuba once. So that could last a long time.